The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Time for a weekly TV spot. Joe Shea and Jennifer Gannon are with us. Jennifer, you were one of those people upset by the disappearance of Mad Men off Netflix, but I believe it's resurfacing somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm delighted that Mad Men has gone to a streaming service that I'm actually signed up for. So if you have an Amazon Prime account, they finally stepped up their content and Mad Men is actually available. And it's not just available as it is with Amazon Prime sometimes just in the UK. It's actually available in Ireland. I checked it this morning and all seven seasons are up there now. So we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Dawn is back in our lives and we can start watching again immediately.
Okay, very interesting though is that they have made a decision, given the controversies recently, to keep what's described as a blackface episode. What's involved in that particular episode from season three?
Yeah, it was when Roger Sterling was marrying Jane, his secretary, and he does a bit where he sings as a kind of minstrel, almost like the kind of Song of the South, Disney-esque kind of thing. Like, and it is, I don't find anything wrong with the warning that they've put on before the episode, because I think it would have been silly to cut the scene out, because the joke is on Roger, and Roger and Jane both. They both look ridiculous and completely out of step with everyone else, especially with younger people there like Pete Campbell, who is embarrassed by the whole display. And I think it highlights Roger's true feelings and it gives weight to those kind of insidious remarks he makes about Dawn, who ends up being Don Draper's secretary. And I think Mad Men is all about authenticity, and this part of the episode was making a statement about how casual racism was there at that time in 1963 and how prevalent it was. And I think it, going forward then, it makes Dawn and Shirley's stories within the show even more powerful, because it shows that those opinions and the mindset that they had to confront, you know, in their daily lives. And I think that and Roger's horrific treatment of the Japanese clients for Honda in the Chrysanthemum and the Sword episode, like, it's important that we see his bigotry and how his opinions haven't evolved, you know, or they didn't evolve after the war. And I think it makes Roger a well-rounded character. And, you know, characters shouldn't always have to be virtuous or likable, because then it just would be boring. And I think it's about, you know, creating real, believable characters. And I think that's where this kind of differs from the debate in relation to comedy shows, because I think in those shows there was a sense that you were laughing at somebody because of their race, and whereas I think with Mad Men and other dramas, it's showing how something like, you know, racism is deeply mired, you know, America is deeply mired in racism, and I think it's a good
move. Okay, Joe, this is very interesting, because this, you know, there have been people who've been looking for all sorts of things, programs to be excised from the record, things to be cut out, but there is a legitimate reason, isn't there, to make sure that you don't cut out something like this.
Yeah, well, there's a kind of a strange game going on at the moment now, where people are going back through classic TV and some of our best-loved shows, including the Golden Girls, I think, got in a bit of trouble there during the week as well. And what they're doing is they're looking for, you know, instances of blackface, or where racism, the subject of racism, isn't treated as it should be treated, as we believe so today. It's kind of a quick hit for journalists. You get a good story out of it. That's a Mad Men story. It went all over the place and, you know, major news organizations covered it. And there's really nothing to it because, you know, as Jennifer was saying, that instance shows that it's there to show the grotesque nature of racism in that time period. So it's kind of ridiculous asking them to cut it out. And nobody was really asking them to cut it out. It's really just a journalist finds it and goes, all right, Mad Men. Everybody knows Mad Men. Here's an instance of blackface and that. We'll get on to the makers of the people who are streaming it currently. And we'll put it to them. They'll issue you know, a decision and we'll get a good story out of it.
Okay, Claire, a listener, texts, and I love texts like this, to say, having missed it first time around and listening to you constantly saying Succession is a must, but not been able to access it, Sky finally made it available and it is everything you said it was. Absolutely loved it. Thanks, Claire. We try and give you the best recommendations here on the TV Spot on The Last Word. I'm not sure we'll be recommending, though, the Netflix film 365. Joe Duffy, the singer in particular, has been very critical of it for saying it glamorizes rape. Let's actually just hear the trailer for the show.
Please, I need help. Can you help me? Someone kidnapped me and I need help. Can you help me?
Buongiorno, signore. Are you lost, baby girl? If you feel like running, you should wear a different kind of shoes. Sometimes fighting is futile. You have to accept the situation. The faster the better for you. Can either make it hard for both of us for the next year, or take part in an adventure that Faith has given you.
It wasn't Faith. It was you.
Now, Joe, tell us, this is adapted from a novel, apparently, 365 Days. Why has it attracted so much controversy and the criticism from Duffy?
Right, well, I actually went and watched this because I knew we were going to be talking about it, and I managed about 20 minutes before I absolutely had to turn it off. It's top 10 hits on Netflix, and I have no idea why, because it's apart from the incredibly troublesome subject matter and storyline in it, it's a really, really badly made piece of trashy TV, a sort of 50 Shades of Grey, except a Euro mess. Terrible acting, incredibly bad scripts. One of the main characters keeps wandering around the place and calling women, hey, baby girl, and it's just really terrible. It's a terrible, terrible piece of TV. And the reason why Duffy has rightly called it out, I mean, people will know that the singer who, you know, had the biggest selling album 2008 with Rock Ferry, she sort of disappeared off the scene after she released her second album, and people wondered what happened to her. And then a few years ago she came out and she said that she had been through an absolutely horrific ordeal where she'd been drugged, kidnapped, taken to a foreign country for a number of days and raped. Now, the reason why Duffy is, and she's not the only one, believe me, is talking about 365 days is it's sort of weirdly normalizes in the strangest way a sort of, you know, a white trafficking scenario where a beautiful woman is kidnapped and has to become fall in love with the head of a Sicilian mafia family, and it's just awful on every level. And how people, how its number, and actually if you look at it on Netflix, it's grouped in with a lot of softcore kind of show, TV programs or films like 50 Shades of Grey and other really terrible exploitative type. It should be avoided, and how Netflix gave it the green light, I have no idea.
And Jennifer, on Rotten Tomatoes, it gets an extraordinary score of 0%.
Yeah, I think, you know, basically it's terrible soft porn, and there's a lot of graphic sex scenes in it, and I think it got a lot of attention because apparently there's a glimpse of an erect penis at some stage in it, and that's how starved women are of seeing the male anatomy on TV or in film. So no wonder it became this lockdown hit. Like, not only is access soft porn, there's a lot of travel porn, it's got exotic locations, and it's got wealth porn, there's a lot of yachts and mansions and spending sprees and penthouses. But like, as Joe was saying, they're, you know, it's a really bizarre plot and very problematic. And I think they should have just released it in an edited format for people who just wanted to get off and watching the sex scenes and have it without the plot. I think it would be better that way, because it really, they have this supposed deal where her captor won't have sex with her unless she, in inverted commas, wants it, which is hardly consensual. And I think it really adheres to that whole rape apologist narrative of, oh, she wanted it, you know, and there's scenes that amount to sexual assault in it. And the narrative is really focused on how she must tame him. And like, that clouds the whole issue of her being kidnapped and him holding her prisoner. And I just think, if you want to watch porn, but, you know, just this is, with this having this notion of being a film, like an actual work of art, and the fact that it's in the Irish Netflix top 10 for ages, like since it was released on June 7th, it's never been out of the Irish Netflix top 10. It's just pretty bad, to be honest.
Beavis and Butthead are coming back. I'm told we may need an offensive language warning for the clip that we're just about to play.
Empathy is when you feel what someone else is feeling. Do you understand?
Feel someone else?
Shut up! Now, you will take these self-esteem worksheets and you will make copies.
You mean like with the copy machine?
Yeah, cool.
Yes, but let me be clear. You will only copy the worksheet. You will not copy your butts again. Do you understand, Beavis?
Do not copy my butt?
Say it again.
Do not copy my butt.
Again,
not copy my butt. Do not copy my butt. Do not copy my butt. 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 Copy my butt. Copy my butt. Copy my butt. My butt. My butt.
Hey, Beavis. You know what would be cool? You should, like, copy your butt.
Joshua, who needs Beavis and Butthead back?
Everybody does. I will fly the Beavis and Butthead flag till the end of my days. It was brilliant at the time, and it was wildly misunderstood, and probably because it was on MTV, and probably because people had never seen anything like this before. Without Beavis and Butthead, there would be no South Park, for instance. There would be no boom in what they're calling, you know, adult animation. And there's been some great shows, you know, in recent times. And Mike Judge, who's the guy behind Beavis and Butthead, was a genius, and he's proved his genius on many. King of the Hill was one of the greatest shows adult animation, but, you know, if any kind of American comedy shows I've seen in years. And he did King of the Hill, he did Office Space, he did Idiocracy, which is an incredibly prescient movie about what's going on in America today. Beavis and Butthead was great at the time. It was misunderstood. I'm not sure he's talking about reimagining it and bringing it back for the Comedy Central channel. So Beavis and Butthead are going to grow up. They're going to age for the first time ever. I'm not sure if it's going to work. It was very much of its time. It was really different and really kind of broke the mold at the time. But, you know, if nothing else, go back and watch the old classic episodes of it, or go and watch King of the Hill, because that's a Mike Judge classic. And I think the guy's a genius.
All right, picks of the week. Jennifer, what are you suggesting that we should be watching over the next 7 days?
Yeah, mine is Mrs. America, and it's on BBC Two on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So this is an ensemble drama, and it depicts the struggle behind the Equal Rights Amendment and the women who not only fought for it, but actually fought against it as well. So each episode follows a moment in the campaign from a viewpoint of a different key figure. And episode one is Phyllis Schlafly, and she's played by Cate Blanchett, which is huge. And she was the controversial conservative grassroots organizer and lawyer who campaigned against abortion rights and feminism and the Equal Rights Amendment. And then the next episode after that will focus on Gloria Steinem, who was the feminist writer and one of the faces of the American feminism movement in the 60s and 70s. And she is going to be played by Rose Byrne, who actually looks really like Sharon Tate rather than Gloria Steinem. And that's really distracting. But it looks like a really good drama to get your teeth into. There's also huge talent in it, like Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black. She's going to play Shirley Chisholm, who was the first black woman elected in the US Congress. And I just really am excited to see this time in history come to life.
Joe, you have a great choice, which is on TG Car tonight at 10:15. I've seen this a couple of times. It's terrific.
I've seen it a couple of times, and I'll watch it again. Senna. It's from Asif Kapadia, his first major documentary. And people may have seen it before, but I think a lot of people haven't seen it. And it is just stunning. It's a brilliant documentary about the great, great Formula One driver Ayrton Senna. But it's not, you don't have to be into sport. You don't have to know anything about Formula One to see this, to enjoy it, to love it. Asif Kapadia went on and he made the Amy Winehouse doc, you know, and I think the Maradona doc as well.
Maradona,
incredible. But this is his first one, and it's just mind-blowing. It kind of changed the way sports documentaries are made, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough, and you don't have to be into Formula One. Senna, TG Carr tonight, 10:15.
Great choice. Joe Shea, Jennifer Gannon, as ever, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.